This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Holscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Hi, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
What's up, Rizzo Tay?
How's it going? How's
Steve Holscher, you know what you? I waiting down in the studio. Kelly Olden now back home. And we got a very... Man, I'm actually looking forward to this. Let me ask you this. If you had to take a guess in terms of whether or not nice guys finish first or nice guys finish last, what's your take on that, Ricciotti? Because you're a guy, and then I'll ask Mary because you are not a guy, so you can give me your not a guy perspective on that. But what do you think?
I think nice guys finish first.
You think nice guys finish first?
Yes. Eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Finish first.
And not nice guys. What happens to not nice guys?
They still can. There's still nice guys that enjoy their lives.
They're still not nice guys they're that just, still enjoy their lives. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're just they're not. They don't have as many people that actually. They more fear them than like them. I think
more fear. You know what? And actually, that's a really really good point because. I think we can look at certainly a couple of examples right now of people that may not be considered to be the nicest guys in the whole wide world. And
unless
you're nice to them, and we see how things are going for them. But Mary, what's your take on that? Do nice guys finish first or last or somewhere in between, or does it not even matter if you're nice or not?
No, I think it's important to be nice. I honestly have been around people that. Come across as nice, but then they can turn,
mm-hmm.
and I walk away and avoid them.
Is that human nature, though? I mean, don't you think most of us it depends on the stimuli, right? I mean, like, isn't that?
I think it's context.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes you're just someone's having a bad day. You think they're being an ass to you, and it's just like, no, it has nothing to do with you.
So is that like the F me once? You know, shame on. On me you, or whatever, yeah. or shame on you, and
probably somewhere
yeah, F
in there,
me
yeah.
twice. Is that the? I still don't even know because I like what is that expression? F me. You ever hear George Bush do his rendition of it?
No.
Have you heard that? You have to look that up. That's hilarious.
I'll look it up right
He's
now.
Like, yeah, look up George Bush's famous quote about shame on you and shame on me and that how that all
That's
works.
Funny.
So I bring all this up because at some point here we're going to bring on our buddy Doug Sandler. Who's going to be talking to us about his take on, really what all is going on in the world of Doug Sandler, of course, but also he's got a great show, which is called The Nice Guys. And so I'd love to get his take on that. But we'll leave it to Wade to bring him on when he is ready, because it looks like we're just going to need another minute or two to get him situated. But for those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing, to the podcast edition of Reinvention Radio. Thank you for that. We love you. And of course, we'd love to see your feedback on the show. And of course, you can check out everything that's going on with Reinvention Radio at reinventionradio.com. And if you want to leave us a voice message about a particular show or have a question about a particular show or have feedback about a particular show, of course, you can reach us also at 1-844-MRBOLD1. 1-844-MR-BOLD1. So there you go. So you can leave a message there.
Do you get a lot of messages?
We occasionally do get some messages. And I want more messages because we want to hear from you guys. We want to hear what you're thinking about the show. We want to hear about your take on the guests. We want to hear about how much you love Mary Goulet and how much you love Richie Ote. And I know what you're going to say about me. But, you know, let's give love to where love is certainly due here. And speaking of love, let's bring up the man of the hour himself, which would be Mr. Doug Sandler. Wait, are we good with Doug at this point? Yeah, we're good. Hey, Doug, you there, buddy?
I do. I love you. I love everybody.
Oh, that is so sweet. And appropriately
Sorry.
Enough, yes, Wade.
Well, and I'm just going to interject, Doug, on this show, we let love rule.
We let love rule. That is so awesome. And, of course, that would be a reference to what is emblazoned on my arm, which would be my homage to Mr. Lenny Kravitz himself. And a little bit of a mantra as well. Sometimes even when things are, like, really out of whack, I got to look down at my arm and go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I should be doing here. All right,
it's
so,
interesting because I let love drool, so it's a whole different meaning.
See, we are kindred spirits in some planets that makes us one and the same. But let me ask you this, man. For those who don't know you, you've got a lot of different things going on. Not the least of which, of course, is a very, very popular show in your own right, which is called The Nice Guys. It's the Nice Guys podcast. But let's take people backwards a couple of steps so that we can understand how you got to where you are now. Because, I mean, let's be honest, you weren't always a nice guy.
No, I was this guy that was just full of ego, and I was the kind of guy that you would not like to be around, because I built a business successfully, quickly, without failure in my life, and I let everybody know that, and it was probably not a great way to be as a business person. You have to be humble and you have to be a nice guy, and I've learned through the error of my ways. But I learned this many years ago in '92. I actually learned at a specific event when I completely had my head handed to me on a platter, and so that was a valuable lesson that I learned. Happy to get into the story, or happy to just leave it there.
Well, no. You can't just do that and then not. And we don't want the, you know, don't give us the dissertation here, but give us like the 30-second version of the business thing and then how your life completely went to hell. I mean, you can't just kind of leave it on a plate like that, man, and not expect us to eat it.
No, I say all let's right, let's save right, it for I, the. How long is it? Should we wait for the whole new segment?
We can totally do 30 years in 40 seconds.
Okay.
Go.
Okay, 30 years, 40 seconds. 92. I was hired by a family sight unseen to come and be a DJ at their kid's bar and bat mitzvah, or in this particular case, a bar mitzvah. The entire event was a disaster from beginning to end. And had I actually put a little time, effort, and energy into understanding what this family was all about, had I actually inspired them to take any kind of action, and had I actually followed through a plan effectively, not just good, but excellently, I would have completely negated all of the shit that went on. Can I say that?
Of course you can. It's a podcast. There's a live radio show. We're on the internet. You can do whatever you want. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I completely would have negated all of that, all of the nightmare that I went through. But my ego was so much in the way, and my head was so far up my ass that I could not see anything. And fortunately for me...
Wait, all of this is from DJing a bar mitzvah? I had a bar mitzvah, and I know the hell that can happen when you're in a room full of Jews on your 13th birthday. So are you talking about... like, what happened at a single bar mitzvah to ruin your life?
Got it. 15 minutes into this four-hour event, 1/16th into the event, the kids had managed to dismantle every centerpiece, threw pea soup on the walls, with toilet paper on fire in the bathrooms. The kids were drinking at the bar. And this was just 15 minutes into the event.
You obviously didn't get the memo. That's what we do at bar mitzvahs.
Well, I'm Jewish, too, so just keep in mind that they paid me 10 times what my normal wages would be, plus flew me down from Washington, D.C. down to New Orleans to do this event, and it was a complete disaster, and it was all like my whole life was coming down to a funnel of hell.
God, see, that's where perspective comes in, because that sounds like a win
to
me.
But you were just the DJ.
Yeah, why are you responsible?
Yeah, exactly. Me and Mary and I are looking at each other like, what the hell is his responsibility?
It sounds like mom and dad were absent or...
Blame it on the DJ.
The DJ is the problem.
But did you have rap music on?
Let me tell you this. Let me say this, though.
N.W.A.
Yeah, 30 years into doing these events later, and 2,500 later, I am responsible. I am the guy that's responsible, and I can tell you that I pull through every time when I say I will never let New Orleans happen again. And because of that, New Orleans hasn't happened again, because I have taken charge in a non-ego, humbling way that I provide inspiration to my clients.
Wow. Nice. I have no idea how point A goes to point B on that. But
you did
but
it. But still got 2.5 minutes to spare.
But just so that everyone is clear, and so that I'm clear, and Mary and Rich and all of you guys as well, I just want to make sure that we're clear here. So if I'm hearing you correctly, Doug Sandler is 100% responsible for making sure that New Orleans never has an issue with hurricanes or any other problems whatsoever ever again. Is that the bottom line?
Close. If I'm responsible for the bar mitzvah, you forgot the exact word, the bar mitzvah that is going on underneath my responsibility, then if that is the thing that I'm held responsible for, I'm going to make sure. Whether you have a bad, I had a horrible banquet manager this past weekend at my event. I had a horrible photographer this past weekend. I had a horrible catering manager this past weekend. But the event still went off and went off without a hitch because I took charge in a non-ego way, asserting my experience. And at this point, I think that that's exactly what we need to do in business, is that we need to make sure that our clients meet and exceed. We exceed our expectations every time with our clients, and you do that through taking charge in a non-ego, humbling way where you assert your experience.
Got it. So just so that I'm clear here, basically, if I'm hearing what you're saying and going and connecting the dots here, you are still DJing bar mitzvahs, but on the side you are doing coaching and consulting. Is that correct?
Yeah, the bar mitzvah business is financed. 5 years ago, I made this transition over to the consulting, speaking, writing business, and my bar mitzvah business has actually financed this entire ride up until about last year when I started to be able to make my own way in this speaking, consulting, podcasting world.
So it sounds like
yes,
he needs to he needs to not only come to New Media Summit, but he should be in charge of running because he will be fully responsible for
it. I love that.
And it will take responsibility for
sweet.
It.
Sweet. So you have just volunteered yourself to DJ the New Media Summit. Is that what I'm hearing?
I would love – you put a turntable. If you fly the turntables out to San Diego, I will gladly run them for you.
Oh, well, here's the good news is I DJed myself for – can I technically DJ myself? That's an interesting idea.
I don't even. You just gave me a bad visual.
Yeah, a bad visual on that one.
Visual. Visual.
But having DJed for as long as I have, the good news is we have the equipment, and we'll bring it to the New Media Summit, and then
you
can.
I'm there, man. You got it. I'll bring my laptop, my Scratch Live software, and I'm ready to roll.
Sweet. All right, we're gonna have to do this. We're gonna take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio, and today we are talking to Doug Sandler of the Nice Guys Podcast, and he is the official DJ, evidently now the official DJ of the New Media Summit, which will be a heck of a lot of fun. Can't wait to see him on the Wheels of Steel, and we'll be talking more with Doug Sandler here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
At Coaching Coaches, Authors, Speakers, and Business Owners, please pay close attention to what I'm about to say if you want to secure massive visibility fast and generate thousands of highly qualified leads without spending a dime on advertising or marketing. The easiest way to make this happen is to appear as a guest on the world's most popular podcast. We recently came across an awesome resource that provides detailed contact information for 240 new media influencers who are looking for guests just like you. It's called the Ultimate Directory, and for a limited time, you can get the preview edition of the directory absolutely free. That's right, for free. It's time for you to get the visibility you and your business deserve and connect with the world's leading icons of influence who can make you famous with the push of a button. Get your free preview edition of the Ultimate Directory right now at www.myultimatedirectory.com. That's myultimatedirectory.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulsher hanging out with Mary Goulet. I'm Mary. Richie O'Jay.
What's up, Mary?
And we got Mr. Doug Sandler himself hanging out with us here. All right, so Doug, you brought us up to speed. Obviously, you are the world's oldest bar mitzvah DJ. And we've got that out of the, that's out of the way. And we're clear on that.
Yep.
So let me ask you this, as point blank as I possibly can, what brings you on Reinvention Radio today? What do you want folks to know about who you are, what you're doing, and how they can learn from what you've done in your 65 years of life?
Well, don't put me at 65. I'm only 52, but at 47, I reinvented to this new business as a professional speaker. And as a result of that, a whole world of opportunity had opened up, including this podcast, the Nice Guys on Business podcast, which has been an amazing ride over the last 2.5 years that we've been operating that. As a result of having the podcast, what we've been able to do is start a podcast production company. So we have a company called Turnkey Podcast, and that reinvention of me has led me to doing full production of people's podcasts, whether they are somebody that has no interest in hosting their own show. We can create actually a season of podcasts for them, or if they have a concept that they want to develop and host, we can help them launch their podcast from square one. So that would be the business that I would really love to promote the heck out of, because it has been such a fun ride for us.
Got it. Well, this is not a promotional opportunity for you, so we will just we're going to ask the transcriber right here. What do they call that person in the courtroom?
Strike it from the record.
We're striking that from the record right now. What's that person called? The court transcriptionist? Is it? No, there's a different word. Dick. You have a microphone, Wade.
Court reporter.
The courtroom reporter. That's the one. Yeah. So we're striking that completely.
My head hurts. Don't do do that.
Completely from the record. All right. So let me ask you this, because you found some pretty good success in the podcast arena here over the last, as you said, two and a half years or so, and your numbers have, and we've discussed this at length, and your numbers have really started to spike, you know, pretty impressively most recently here. What do you attribute that to, and what do you tell people who are looking to get into the arena of podcasting? Do you still think there's an opportunity in this arena? Are they too late to the game? Give us some insight in terms of where you sit on this.
I think it's just beginning. You know, Apple is beginning to realize, as a matter of fact, how important things like analytics and numbers are to their podcasters. They're just releasing the first ever numbers I think they're releasing on you know, to determine when people are listening, how long they're listening, and what portions of the podcast episode do they actually tune out. Those are the kind of things that are so critical, and because they're realizing the importance of not only the numbers, but how important podcasting is. There's tens of millions of people that listen to podcasts every month, and yet I'll give a conference and I'll ask somebody that's in the audience, you know, hundreds of people that might be in the audience, how many of you are listening to podcasts right now? And I would say usually get somewhere between 5% and 10% of the people that are in the room actually raise their hand. Mm-hmm. People are just beginning to discover how important this on-demand type of content is. Their cars can become their university on wheels, and there are so many amazing podcasts that are out there. So I would say absolutely not. Way, way early in the game right now, everybody should be getting started with podcasting as quickly as they possibly can.
Okay, so to that end, why do you think, there are people who will tell you that this medium has been around for the better part of 20 years. I mean, this is not, you know, this is not a new thing. So what is the difference now? Why do you think it's beginning to become more mainstream? Why do you think there's such an opportunity here in this particular medium when it's been around for as long as it's been around and it hasn't really caught on, as you said, 5-10% of the audience says, hey, we listen to them. So why are you still bullish on it? And what am I missing?
Because I think the mainstream media is beginning to understand that they're losing a foothold. Advertisers are moving over to podcasts. They realize having a segmented, directly targeted, funneled audience is the best kind of audience to have. If I have a million listeners to my broadcast on ABC, it doesn't mean anything. But if I can tell you that I have entrepreneurs that are between the ages of 30 and 40 years old that listen to my podcast and they're specifically interested in this segment of the entrepreneurial world, man, that's gold to an advertiser. So follow the money. Wherever the money is going is where is the area that's really going to be extremely popular. And I see that the money trail is leading specifically into podcasting. It's a great opportunity for people. Why? I just think that people like directed content. They like their content. I think social media has a lot to do with it. I think companies like Netflix have a lot to do with it. You know, I think that those kind of companies are, you're tuning in when you want to rather than the other way around. I don't have to tune in at 11 p.m. on a Saturday to listen to a podcast because I can tune in any time of the week. It's on demand when I want it.
Yeah, Richie?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's tip of the iceberg, too. Part of, I think, why it's taken a while and the 20-year comment that you made is because the name is just lame. You know what I mean? Think about what they talk about with, like, Facebook and live video. When you say live video, everyone knows what live video is. You say podcast, and what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. You know? But we consume visually via text, visually with video, and audio. Those are the only three ways we do it.
So you don't think,
there
you
is
don't,
no other way.
You don't think audio is dead as a medium?
Not only do I not think it's dead, but I think this will be a segue into to New Media Minute. I think it's going to come full circle and lead the way. You've been hearing me say this for almost 2 years. I came from television and film, and I still think, because we were mesmerized by the screens on our tables known as TVs, then we were mesmerized by our desktop screens, then we were mesmerized by our folding screens in our backpack, then we were mesmerized by our screens in our pocket, and we're about ready to come full circle into voice where no one even gives a crap about the screen. Mm-hmm. Alexa, what's the temperature going to be today? What's my, you know, it's like it doesn't even matter. You
the
don't
Walkman's
need the screen.
Coming back.
It's
yeah! I can take it out of the closet. I still have my Walkman.
And look, here's all you need is evidence. Does Facebook build and deploy things without having some form of data?
Of course not.
Okay. Do you think technologically it's harder to roll out live video or live audio?
Technologically, it's got to be harder to roll out live video.
So why did Facebook just roll out last week live audio?
That is a really good question. Wade is jumping out of his chair also. What's up, Wade?
Well, yeah, great point with Rich. I just ask people to do this one thing. Turn on a YouTube video. Start watching it and listening to it. Turn off the screen and see if it still has impact. Now turn the screen back off and turn off the audio and tell me if it still has impact.
Yeah, audio rules for yeah. YouTube videos.
So video's cool, but the audio, you know, people are recognizing what we've been preaching for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Audio is the biggest component of the conversation.
It's yeah. the story.
So let me ask you this then, Doug. I mean, as far as getting into this arena, and you have, as you said, you have a company that helps people get into the podcasting arena. What do you recommend that they do? I mean, you have a general business show, right? I mean, the Nice Guys on Business. I mean, it's kind of a general business yeah. show. Reinvention Radio, we cover a lot of ground. I mean, if you go through our feed and you subscribe to Reinvention Radio, you're going to get a Soulful Sunday episode. You're going to get a What Is Your What Wednesday. You're going to get a sound off. You're going to get an interview, a new media minute. I mean, we kind of run the gamut trying to be like almost an entertainment channel, if you will, under the Reinvention Radio umbrella. But it's not very niche-oriented, and neither, of course, then is your show, which is about business. So do you recommend that people niche down, or is it okay to be more general like your show and like ours?
I would tell you, you get involved with whatever subject matter is of interest to you and you think that you can hang with the longest. Listen, if somebody said to me, I have to specifically focus just on iPads and Apple products, and that was my niche because that's the thing I know the most about, I would get bored with that. But there are some people that could spend all day talking about Apple products, and they love Apple. For me, it's not my way. So I would say to you, anything that you have a level of interest in that you feel like you could hold your audience's attention and that you're an expert in, build it. Build it, and they will come. I truly feel like you can build a podcast with any subject matter as long as you feel you're passionate about it.
Yeah, you don't even need to know about it. You could just be passionate about it and document the process and explore it with people, right? Like you don't even need to necessarily know it.
So here's a question for you, Doug. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's all right.
If you have a person, like I have a thought of this gal that I had a meeting with. She's super passionate about type 1 diabetes and helping families cope with that, et cetera. She's on fire about it, but what would be the first steps for her, equipment-wise, to use?
Well, the equipment investment is very inexpensive. A microphone and a USB microphone and a pair of headphones is really all you need is from a hardware perspective, and then you just tap into a company like Libsyn to host or any number of different hosting companies that are out there and a very inexpensive, easy-to-use GarageBand or Audacity type of software or a production company to handle it all if you don't want to have any of that. If you're not a technology person and you want somebody to handle all of it, for a couple of $100, you're into podcasting. But that's not the beginning. I mean, that's literally just the equipment. It's like saying, I have two turntables, so now I must be a great DJ.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. You need to get the training so that you understand exactly how are you going to engage and share your message.
Yeah, no, point's really, really well taken. All right, so here's what I want to do, because we're going to have to take another quick break here on Reinvention Radio so we can recognize our awesome sponsors of the show, and we, of course, appreciate their support. But what I want to do is take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio, come back with Doug Sandler. And some of the things that I want to talk about here in our last segment together, Doug, is I really want to talk about monetization in terms of how we can actually monetize a podcast audience. Mm-hmm. And I also want to talk a little bit about what you see people doing right and what you see people doing wrong in the creation of their shows. So we're going to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. We're talking to the one and only Doug Sandler of the Nice Guys on Business podcast. And we'll be right back right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher hanging out with Mary Goulet. Hello, Mary. Hello. Richie Ote. And we got Doug Sandler on the phone here as we're talking podcasts. And Doug is the host of the Nice Guys on Business podcast. And I know you've had some pretty amazing folks on that show. Doug, let me ask you this. Before the break, we were talking about monetization. We were also talking about some of the right ways to create a podcast and or market a podcast and some of the wrong ways of doing those things. I'll throw it out to you. Those are three options that you can start with. So either monetization, what's right, what's wrong, where do you want to begin?
Yeah, let's start with monetization. Everybody always likes to know about how do you make money on a podcast.
Show me the money! Yeah, for sure.
You just want me to go?
Yeah, let's do it. How do you do it?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to tell
you?
Maybe for the low price of...
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I know, and then maybe you fill in the blanks. How about
that? Ooh, show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Exactly. So the three ways that we have found that that people can monetize their podcast are, one, through affiliates, meaning you have a sponsor on the show that only pays you if you help them make a sale by them click by a potential listener clicking on their link and buying a product.
Hold on, let's I want to go into detail on that because I don't think a lot of people really understand what that means. So if you're listening to the Nice Guys on Business podcast and you say, "This is Doug Sandler, go buy this mattress from Casper," how do you get paid?
If a listener actually clicks on the link in my show notes or uses the code that I give, you know, enter in Nice Guys in the promo code, we've sold a mattress for Casper. Casper then looks at that and says, "Hey, at the end of the month, it looks like the Nice Guys sold us four mattresses. For the four mattresses, we promised them we would give them $200 a piece. We're going to send them a check for $800.
Mm-hmm. And does that actually work? Do people actually do that? Do they click on links?
Yeah.
Do they respond to what? Yeah, they do. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a crapshoot. You know, is this particular product a good product for my audience to buy? And if it is, and you feel like it's a good thing, like if you're selling an accounting program and you have an entrepreneur podcast, probably a good fit. Maybe it just depends on who your audience is and if you think they're going to buy.
Yeah,
if they click and buy, you get a percentage. You get a percentage.
That's where those analytics are so important that you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, you really have to know you got to know your audience.
Yep.
And I think that's probably why we have not done a really good job of our affiliate sales, because we have a challenge. And we had, Steve, you and I had this conversation before. It's that who is our audience? Sometimes it's a little bit hard to determine who your audience is, mm-hmm, if you can't get them to respond to anything.
And it sounds like Apple may actually be helping with that. I mean, they're going to talk about the analytics, like you were saying. So does that mean they're going to give us some insight in terms of who's actually listening to a show?
I still think that you need more information. I think they're going to be able to give us information about when they listen and how long they listen for to the podcast, which is important to where you're putting sponsors and which sponsors you're going to charge more to. Maybe a top of the hour, top of the show sponsors you charge more than if you're doing a commercial midway through or at the end of your podcast, if you have a call to action of some sort.
Yeah, no, I can totally get that, because we the number of listeners that we have now, Doug, a lot of people have already turned you off. So the diehards are still listening right now, but I think you lost most of the folks in the first 4 minutes there. So I totally get
not
that.
Not unusual. I usually lose my wife after about 15 seconds, so we're good to go.
All right, so affiliates are one way to make money. How else?
Direct sponsorship. You can get a sponsor to give you money to just share their message at some point. during your show, usually at the top of the show or the midway point of the show, and they'll pay you based upon the number of thousands of listeners that you have in your audience.
So regardless of if you sell anything, someone will just come on, they just want to get onto the radar of those listeners. It doesn't matter if you sell anything or not, they just want to get in front of that audience.
Exactly, exactly.
And what kind of money can you charge for that?
That it could be good if you have a big audience. You could charge anywhere from $20 to $150 per message that you spread.
So hold on, but when can you charge 20 and when can you charge 150?
It just depends on how good a sales guy you are. I'm telling you the truth. The reality of sponsorship is that yes, there is probably a standard formula that goes into how much somebody will charge for sponsors, but there's also your salesmanship ability. If you can sell a company that's willing to spend, is there a perceived value and an actual value of airtime? I don't know. If I have 1,000 people that listen to my show, but they are so keyed in and engaged that I can make 5 or 6 or 10 sales every time I do my show for a sponsor, they're going to be willing to pay a lot more if you can prove that you have that kind of engagement, opposed to I have 100,000 listeners, but I can't get them to click on a freaking link to my, if my life depends on it. Mm-hmm. It's very challenging for me to get anywhere beyond the standard, $15 per 1,000.
What were you going to say, Wade? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, too, it depends on what the product is. I mean, if you sell a $200,000 tractor, mm-hmm. How many of those do you need when you got Farmland Podcast of America or whatever? And
that idea. That's our next show.
Whatever. Yeehaw. I mean, look at. I'm serious.
Squirrel.
Okay, don't forget how many of those states were red.
All right, Wade. So Rich wants to sell tractors, and what do you want to do?
Yeah. Well, what I want to encourage people to do is shift the way they're looking at it, because it's not about demographics. It's about psychographics. It's recognizing, like Doug's saying, you've got deep engagement. So if I'm the person selling that show, I don't sell the number of listeners.
Right.
I sell the value of my endorsement. Mm. I'm giving implied endorsement to that sponsor. And what metric company is to tell me what my implied endorsement is worth towards that customer base? Yeah.
That's so why in the read is better, or excuse me, read is better,
exactly.
Too.
Right?
It's not like a commercial that they all know. It's
like you hear on Reinvention Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, no one clicks on those links.
Thanks. All right, so we got the affiliates, we got the direct sponsorships. What's the third way of that you're finding folks can monetize?
The third way, which I found is the most effective way to make money and monetize your podcast, is the selling of whatever services that you provide. So if you're a professional speaker and you speak on that subject and you have guests on that subject that come on your podcast and you charge tens of thousands of dollars through or hundreds of thousands of dollars through the course of your year for those services, if you're able to get a couple of those clients to see you as the, recognize you as the expert in your field, it's a lot easier to make that sale. A lot easier to make that sale.
But let's figure out how we get people offline, though. So how do you do that? Because I think that's kind of the challenge for so many show hosts, people who have podcasts, is how do you get them to move from one medium to the other?
It's 100% where the biggest problem is, the disconnect between making money from somebody's show and not making any money from their show. The shows that have engaged hosts on social media and through any other form, social media being the easiest way to connect. I have at DJ Doug is my Twitter handle when people get online, and we exchange messages through Twitter. That is definitely the easiest way after the show for me to have level one of engagement. Level two of engagement is connect with them through any other source of social media, a little bit more engagement. Step three, have a phone call. Step four, send them, get in front of them. Mm-hmm. That's, again, without that engagement piece, everything breaks down. Mm-hmm. You have to be engaged with your audience. And I would say if there's any reason why our show has been as successful as it has been in getting our audience and building our audience, is because I not only engage our audience members, which is our community, I engage the guests that are on the show as well. I mean, that's how you and I struck up a relationship. Yeah. And it's all about engagement and networking. It's not just about broadcasting a show just for the broadcast, side of things.
Our very own Richard here calls it take them deep and get them to bounce.
Ooh, bouncy, baby. All right, so, and look, reality is you've had some pretty impressive people on your show. I mean, you've had Steve Ulscher on your show. You've had other people who should remain nameless on your show. What do you suggest in terms of how do folks connect with some of those people that they might, so if they have their show and they want to connect with some of these higher profile type people in the last 30-60 seconds here, any really solid tips for getting folks who may normally be out of reach onto, how do you get on their radar?
What I would say, in order to get on their radar, you just ask them. That's period, the end, that is it. That's how I got Arianna Huffington on my show. It's how I got Gary Vaynerchuk on my show. It's how I got people that are high up in the government on my show.
Yeah.
People that are engaged, and if you communicate and you're an effective communicator, you will get great guests on your show, and they will say yes eventually. But those aren't the guests that really are the ones that are going to bang your audience. Those aren't the ones that are really going to build your network. Who's going to really build your network are those everyday people that come on your show that are so excited that they share it with everybody in their lives, and that builds your audience.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And just in case we need a quotable out of this episode, Kelly, we're going to say don't bang your audience. So that's that would be the Doug Sandler tweetable out of this episode there. All right, so if people want
whole other meaning to going deep with your audience.
Yeah, you know. All right, so if people want more information about you and what you're up to, where should they go? What should they do?
Let's have them start with turnkeypodcast.com.
All right.
TurnkeyPodcast.com.
Awesome. And you're going to be joining us at the New Media Summit. And we're actually going to have you on the New Media Minute as well to chat about that. But in just a few simple words here, why'd you say yes to join us at the New Media Summit and come meet the attendees that will be there?
Are you kidding me? To have an opportunity to hang out with the icons of influence that you have assembled and put together, it would be crazy for me to say no.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. There you have it. Well, look, Doug, really appreciate you joining us here today, and definitely encourage you guys to check out what Doug has going on with the Nice Guys on Business podcast. It's a really good show. It's a lot of fun, and I got to tell you, it's certainly one of the better shows that I've heard on business. And so, Doug, really do appreciate you being here today with us on Reinvention Radio. And remember, guys, we love you, and tune in every week here live on Thursdays. Talk to you really soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulscher, visit reinventionradio.com.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.